This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of South Hewlin. And there's already been a lot going on. So we had somebody came in who is getting married at 4:30. All right? Mike just got a birthday present. People are bringing up cards. I just got a couple of extra items for Peace-a-thon. It has been happening here. Mike, what have you got?
I have a Star Wars set of C-3PO, R2-D2, Obi-Wan, a Death Squad commander, a Jawa, and a Tusken Raider.
That is awesome.
That is very cool.
I'm going to play with these
cool
when I get home.
Okay.
Do you play with your cards when you get home?
Sometimes, like, okay. Yeah, if I have time. I love going through cards, and I used to love playing with Star Wars. I actually do have the Millennium Falcon still.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Very
not
cool.
The original one. Like, I got it like 2002. Justin came up to me, talked about Rangers and how much he loved it. And then, dude in the cowboy hat just got me another brass monkey. It's still breakfast time with me. Not with the KNC.
I just want to let everybody know I'm glad they're here, except for you, sir. Do not encourage.
He wants to hear the
Mike
brass monkey every time
air.
I take
okay.
a sip of brass monkey.
All right.
We're getting funky.
If you can cue that up, Alec. By the way, right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Mickey. How's everybody's pain tolerance today?
Yes, I did.
Mike's is better because he's been drinking.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Feels
no pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Man, he doesn't. And it might just be this location in particular off of South Hewlin that drives him to drink.
This is my old school right here. I used to live on Collinwood and Montgomery near Dickey's Arena wasn't there when I lived
yes.
there, but near Dickey's Arena.
Very
now,
nice.
Now, we've heard CeeDee Lamb feeling good. Looking good to go. We'll see what that looks like on Sunday. Same for Micah Parsons. I continue to see his name pop up in the injury report. What is the concern level for Zach Martin?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit concern there because previously, you know, when it would say shoulder / rest, and this one doesn't have rest next to it.
Yeah.
And I know he's been playing through some stuff. So, yeah, I got a feeling this one's somewhat concerning, and maybe they take it right up to, you know, the last minute to see if he can go or not. But DMP, DNP, and then we'll see what they put today. But I don't know if that means you can qualify saying he's questionable or if you got to put doubtful. So, yeah, and if he's not ready to go, that means TJ Bass is your starting right guard.
And for Martin specifically, I'm sure there's other players on the team like this. Is he someone that you feel comfortable with? Like, look, he is a super veteran. He's already going to go to the Hall of Fame. If he can't practice, but then he tells you he's good to go, you know, you let him go.
Yeah, I would imagine if he was on a leg and a half, he's better than what you're going to put out there.
Oh, in your face, TJ Bass. No, I'm just kidding.
That's nothing against
TJ Bass. I'm kidding.
Bass.
I get
you know
it.
What
like,
I'm saying.
Like I
right?
said, he's going to the Hall of Fame. I
yeah.
know. I totally.
And if nothing else, you have him out there for his experience.
Yes.
But obviously, he's been playing through that shoulder here for several weeks and going out there and, you know, doing the best he can. So I don't know if you get to a point where it's like, okay, what about just sitting out this one and see where we are next week so maybe we can get ahead of this thing and not let it continue to linger. But, yeah, keep an eye on that one.
Do you think, I'm not saying this is their responsibility at all, Mick, but do you think there's anybody, whether it's CD or Micah or Zach Martin, who looks at the trajectory of this team and says, you make a lot of sense, I can't afford to, our team can't afford for me to sit this game out?
I don't think players look at the tangible thing or intangible things like that.
Okay.
I think if I can play, I can play.
Yeah.
And I always want to play.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I wasn't sure where you were going there, if you're like 2-9 or something, and you go, no, I'm not playing.
Yeah, and it's not just, I mean, not that you wouldn't play, but that, like, maybe you would let logic creep into your brain a little bit more than you do.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, we can still make the damn playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's the way they all think. You know,
yeah.
I don't think you can afford to play a game like this thinking, I don't think I need to go just because of what your record is or what it is and you need to go out there. I think
If
you can play, you can play. And the trainers have a lot to do with this also, because some guys would go out there and then they give you two plays and then they're inactive, right? Can't go anymore.
Yes.
So you kind of got to be honest, but you also have to listen to your medical staff.
When you watched Kellen Moore go from the Cowboys to the Chargers, and then now from the Chargers to the Eagles, has he changed much of what he's done? Because I heard McCarthy say, you know, personnel is pretty much still the same and everything. Did he change a lot of what he's done since he's
left?
Yeah,
I don't know that I've seen enough of those teams playing to be able to tell you, radically different now or whatever. I'm sure what you've seen here is basically the same, and maybe having grown a little, coaching two different places with different personnel. But again, I'm sure knowing him, his background, his playing background, he's got no problems with Jalen Hurts running with the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or designing runs for him along, you know, to correspond with some of the stuff they do with Saquon. And when you have different personnel and you got a back like Barkley, well, you're probably going to stick with the run a little bit more than you might have if you have a kind of an aging running back. So I think it has to do more with personnel than him growing as an offensive coordinator.
Do you think that it was that Jerry saying that there are packages built in for Trey Lance is a bad thing?
Because
there are some people that are like, why is he giving away secrets?
Yeah, well, I certainly hope so. I mean, that was my take. And you know, Jerry kind of said it maybe on Tuesday. He kind of alluded that, you know, we got to get him ready for certain things. And I was thinking, well, yeah, how about 3rd and 2 and you put him in the game? And you know, and maybe they're, don't know if you're going to just call a run for him. And we saw how well he ran in preseason, you know. And if you take away that last preseason game, when what was it, 10 interceptions or something like that?
Yeah, take away the throwing part.
Yeah.
I mean, using his feet, he was pretty darn good.
Yes.
And it could be a threat. So I could see that happening. Absolutely. Why not? He's active now, so, use every asset you have.
Now, I know there's a lot that this team would like to fix. The statistic that continues to jump out at me, and we've seen it game after game, is 7.3 yards after the catch following a completion allowed by the Cowboys, the worst in the NFL. Is there, I don't know, anything in particular that you've seen besides, I get poor tackling for sure, that has led to that? And is it just as simplistic as we got to tackle better?
So I thought you were saying the Cowboys receivers were only getting that. You're talking the opponents.
No. That would be tremendous. I'm sorry. Yes, the Cowboys are giving up to opponents 7.3 yards after the completion, which is the highest in the NFL.
Well, I'm sure last week didn't help that any, right?
That is probably true.
And, I mean, even, you know, it was bad enough for Mike Zimmer to point out on Monday that they had 15 missed tackles.
Yikes.
So I'm sure that, exaggerated what that number is even worse.
Yeah.
So, it's too much, especially when guys are, you know, catching, you know, wide open passes where guys get beat at the line of scrimmage and they go 40, 50 yards, that's going to skew that number for sure. So, and some of it's not missed tackles, it's just misreads or missed coverages. And so, yeah, when you get that many big plays, you know, that can get you in trouble. And which, by the way, I was looking at the Eagles, and they've got four runs, and they were all Barkley, for 30 yards or more, and they had nine completions for at least 40 yards.
Good luck.
Oh.
So if you really like that number, it might get expanded.
Yeah.
Well, with that in mind, Mickey, I need a prediction from you, because I have to admit I am not feeling super optimistic about this game. Where's your head at?
Yeah, I think, you know, after you lose three in a row like that, and I've always got a...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A theory that, you know, the more you lose, the closer you are to winning one.
Oh.
But maybe not this time. I think they've got so much to overcome. But would it surprise me? No. I mean, if you look at the teams that the Eagles beat during this four-game winning streak, three of them are 2-7, and now after last night, one's 4-6.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they haven't played the schedule the Cowboys have, right?
Yeah.
During the three-game losing streak. Now, we can argue about Atlanta, I guess.
Sure.
You know, because that was still a winnable game. But they are 6-3. So it wouldn't surprise me if all these stats that that the Philadelphia has piled up, you know, and so many good things, but they were against teams that are 2-7.
Yeah,
so
I hear you.
It'd be, you know, just kind of curious. Because think about it. They were 2-2, right? And then they won four straight.
Yeah, off of the bye, they've been amazing.
Right, yeah. So maybe they fixed everything. I don't know. Maybe they got more healthy. But they feasted on the you know, the kind of the bottom feeders.
Well, we appreciate it very much. Good start.
Oh, I didn't give you a score, did I?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to give a specific score.
How about Eagles 27-19?
Okay.
There you go.
A lot of field goals.
Yes, I mean, that makes sense to me. All right, we'll catch up with you again on Monday, good sir.
All right, I'll be here. See ya.
Yes. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and
we'll be here too.
I feel like that's true. Alec, if you can give me cut number 5, because them Dallas Stars, they were victorious last night.
One game he's played in. Donato after a giveaway, then Ottinger, two saves, make it a third, kept alive, blocked in front. It was Roope Hintz, the forward, two-pad stack, and Ottinger gloves that one and brings them to their feet in Dallas.
Now, the Stars were actually really putting the pressure on themselves offensively. But Ottinger gives up the one goal in the third. Stars put on a late empty netter via Stankoven. 3-1, the win right there. But this is something we talked about like a week or so ago. the Stars have really held home ice advantage this year. They're 6-1 at home. And we talked about last year, their home and road splits were kind of the same and actually worse in the playoffs. They were worse at home than they were on the road. So I do really like early on, once it's in their barn, they're like, we're winning this game.
They like bad ice.
That could be.
Edmonton has much better ice.
That could be. I cannot rule that out.
The playoffs, they said we have bad ice.
Yeah, I like
they
ice.
Like bad ice. I like slush.
I cannot rule that out.
I just appreciate Stankoven continuing to be who he is, man.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Stanky. And then for the 4-6-9, Eagles beat bad teams, and the Cowboys are a bad team right now. Well, that's fair. And from the 6-8-2, y'all should change the name of the show for the rest of the day to Mike and the Brass Monkey.
Because we're getting funky.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, coming up next, it is also a shout-out Friday. Sorry we haven't really gotten to that thus far. We've been very busy. But we're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of South Hewlin. We'll get your shout-outs in. Also, we will talk with PhiladelphiaEagles.com reporter and podcaster Chris McPherson next right here on The Fan.
Barkley has it in a crowd. They're going to push. In for a touchdown. Saquon Barkley scores as an Eagle against the Giants here in Jersey.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of South Hewlin Street. We are alive and rocking here. If you want to come hang out with us, we got Cowboys giveaways. You can enter to win a couple of Cowboys Texans tickets courtesy of Miller Lite. But right now, let's talk with PhiladelphiaEagles.com reporter and podcaster extraordinaire. It's Chris McPherson. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, how's everything going? Happy Football Friday to you all. It's interesting that the Dak-Jalen rivalry should probably be bigger in the NFL, but it seems like every year
they don't get to play each other.
No. I mean, Dak is 3-0. I mean, and all that in the couple of times they've played. But it seems like every year there's something that comes up that keeps these two from matching up, though. So, unfortunately, we're not going to get that this Sunday.
If I was Jalen Hurts, I would be like, go ahead and count that as a win. You've seen this team. You know if Dak was going to play, this was going to be a win. Now, we're going to talk about the Cowboys, I'm sure. But what I really want to know is, after the bye, this Eagles team has looked way different, at least to me. Is that a fair assessment? And if so, how so?
Very fair assessment. We'll start on the offensive side of the football. They leaned into Saquon Barkley. You played the highlight clip there before you brought me on, and Saquon has been better than anticipated after signing the deal with the Eagles. We all saw the reverse hurdle, whatever you want to call that fantastic
yes,
play.
Amazing.
That had to be just one of those. I mean, seeing that live unfold, and then seeing the reaction of the players. I mean, these Eagles guys, these football players, are the best of the best at what they do in the world, and they're all astonished at what they just saw unfold in real time. So he has been absolutely better than expected, and they've leaned on him heavily, which has gotten the offense into a flow earlier on, and it's allowed Jalen Hurts to be more comfortable warming up and getting his rhythm into the game. And then from Jalen's perspective, they've done a much better job of taking care of the football. You know, the first couple of games, it was fumbles, it was interceptions. You know, Jalen Hurts was up there in the most giveaways along with the Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, but you weren't seeing the dynamic plays on the other side as a result. Well, Jalen Hurts has done a phenomenal job, four straight games of taking care of the football, and what's happened here? The Eagles have won those four games, and as you guys look at Cooper Rush and the success that he had back in 2022 when he took over for Dak, he did a phenomenal job of taking care of the football, and his one loss, if you guys remember, was to the Eagles in Philadelphia. The Eagles picked him off three times in that game. So that has been the biggest thing for Jalen. And then real quickly, defensively, I think they've just gotten more accustomed and comfortable with Vic Fangio's scheme. Those Georgia Bulldogs, a lot was made about how Howie Roseman, the GM, you know, just all right, Georgia keeps winning, we're going to pluck the Georgia guys. N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker, has the game-sealing interception. Nolan Smith, the edge rusher, has become a force off the edge. Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, you know, manning the interior of that defensive line. So I think it's really just been a complete team effort that's brought this team to where it's at right now, 6-2, four straight wins going into Sunday's matchup against the Cowboys.
You know, that was kind of a point of discussion there last year, was that Jalen Carter wasn't seeing the field enough. Dean wasn't seeing the field enough. What changed? Just they grew up from being rookies? Is that all? Or
For Jalen, I mean, Jalen Carter missed two snaps Sunday against Jacksonville.
Right, yeah.
This is a defensive line philosophy over the years. You're going back to the Andy Reid days with Jim Johnson, and even the days since then, they've wanted to rotate those guys up front. But Vic Fangio is like, look, if I have a top-tier blue-chip talent in the middle there, he's going to be my workhorse. And he had three pressures on Sunday against double teams. So teams are starting to show him that ultimate sign of respect. He had six pressures total against Brandon Scherff, who has been a Pro Bowl player in the NFC East for several years. So you're going against outstanding competition there. So I think for him, it's just growing more into that role. And for Dean, he battled injury last season. They were just trying, he was still trying to get his feet wet and figure things out. Vic Fangio has done a great job of realizing that Dean is an extremely smart football player. They're actually, I don't know if you guys saw it, but we released on our social media channels the mic'd up from the game, and Dean happened to be mic'd up. And he said in the first quarter, I'm going to be looking for the wheel route. They're going to test me on the wheel route at some point in this game. And sure enough, that game-sealing interception, Trevor Lawrence goes into the end zone. It was the wheel route, and Dean knew it right away and knew how to play it and was able to come away with the pick. And I think that's going to be a huge confidence boost for him moving forward. But I think it's also Vic Fangio in learning how to utilize the talent that he has and the guys growing and adjusting to his scheme. So I think that's been really the biggest difference there with Carter and N'Kobe Dean.
The offensive coordinator, we know him pretty well.
We do.
How much has he changed y'all's offensive like approach, or is it just no? He's just taking that talent. Like, explain what you've seen with him and how y'all have changed this year, maybe.
I think going back to the first question about what's been different in this Eagles offense since the bye, and they've been utilizing a lot more under center. And okay. They really had not, that's not been a thing for them. Pretty much Jalen Hurts had been running the shotgun offense. They've been sprinkling in a little more of the under center. You're seeing a little more of the pre-snap motion. There are some subtleties in terms of receiver alignments and things of that nature. But I think really those are the two biggest things, because Nick Sirianni, head coach, has said, I don't want to be, a wise man avoids all extremes. And they had been one of the bottom teams in the league in motion, one of the bottom teams in the league in under center. And they said, look, we don't need to major in it. Can we just minor in it? Can this be an elective for us, like, every once in a while? And I think those have been the biggest things. And I think it's also looking at the talent that this team has and saying, we've got a franchise blue-chip running back in Saquon Barkley. You've got, obviously, one of the best wide receiver duos in the game in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But they've really said, you look at the offensive line, that's been a hallmark of this team for years. Even with some injuries along the front this season, they've leaned to that and saying, look, we know we can run the ball. We can do a little bully ball here. And I think that's going to be one of the biggest matchups to watch here with the Eagles and the Cowboys, is because the Cowboys aren't afraid to load the box, but teams have been able to still have success running against it. And the Eagles will still, even with a loaded box, say, we've got Saquon Barkley. And even if he's only getting 3-4 yards, one of the things he's phenomenal at doing is falling forward and just wearing down defenses, so that as the games go on, and you go to, it was the Week 3 game against the New Orleans Saints right after they beat the Cowboys, it was kind of like chip away, chip away, chip away, and all of a sudden the third quarter, or early in the fourth quarter, I should say, Saquon Barkley breaks off the big touchdown run and is able to finally break the defenses back.
Okay, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I don't mean to, maybe I do just a little bit, diminish the contributions of Kellen Moore, but I also look at it and wonder, is this offense clicking as simplistic as Jalen Hurts is not turning the ball over and Saquon Barkley is better than probably most everyone, especially the Giants, would have anticipated?
I mean, certainly, but I think it's good for a coach to realize and say, if I have all this, I'm going to need to go out there and utilize it. Because this offense was struggling in the first couple weeks of the season. The first game against the Green Bay Packers in Brazil, they put up 30 plus points. But then the couple weeks since, you kind of got the sense, all right, what's going on here? Because you have all these weapons, everything should be clicking. So I think it speaks a lot to the coach in saying, okay, we need to regroup. let's see what our strengths are, and just maximizing those strengths. And I think it's getting it into Jalen to say, look, we need to live to fight another down. You don't always have to play hero ball and take the deep shot, you know, especially if there's double coverage. We could do the check down, you could throw the ball away, and let's move on to the next play. So I think there's been very good coaching from that standpoint and helping Coach Jalen out some of those turnovers. And I think it's saying, all right, this is what we got to work with. Let's maximize those strengths. And again, you're bringing in some of those principles that Kellen is more adjusted to using from his time with the Cowboys and with the Chargers. I talk about with the motion and the under center, and they've had success with it. So again, it's they didn't want to say we're going to completely overhaul the offense and change our identity and all that. It's just saying we need so that I think one of the struggles for this team last year offensively was it became very static. It became to a point where defenses knew what was coming. Okay, so I think it was that we need to be able to throw a curveball every once in a while so defenses can't always tee off on what we're doing.
Talking with Chris McPherson from PhiladelphiaEagles.com right here on 105.3 The Fan. I had a quick non-football question for you. I believe it is the Reading Terminal Market. Have you been there? And how awesome is it? Because I just got a chance to go there this summer, and I thought it was freaking incredible.
Oh, that's an understatement. I don't go enough, I will say. The last time I went, it's a couple of years ago. I took my boys there with it was a Cub Scout field trip, and trying to take a bunch of like 9-10-year-olds through that on like a busy Saturday.
Yeah.
It wasn't the smartest thing. So I think my wife still reminds me of it to this day. But nonetheless, though, if you're a food connoisseur, there's something for everyone. That's the thing. It's you could be the pickiest eater. I'll admit that I'm a pretty picky eater. You know, that's why, you know, years ago when I would go to Dallas for the games, you take me to a steak restaurant, I'm set because you don't need a whole lot of frills there. But
yeah,
I mean, there is something for everyone in the Reading Terminal Market. It's, you know, it's an absolute blast. So no, I'm glad you brought that up. And I haven't had lunch yet. It is 12:30 on the East out here in Philadelphia on the East Coast. So yeah, thanks for upping that just a little bit here as we get into the interview here.
Hey, that's what we call the synergy, because we're inviting everyone out to Buffalo Wild Wings here in Fort Worth. So see, you got Reading Terminal Market. You can hit up Buffalo Wild Wings depending on where you are in the country.
Hey, man, but before we let you go, last year it looked like there were some cracks in everything. Like Sirianni didn't have the team, and then things were kind of feeling like they were falling apart up there. And it looks like they've kind of turned that around. What was going on? What did happen, and what did change since then?
That's honestly one of the biggest questions. I think when you talk to the players, you know, at the end of the season and the off season, and it was like they got tired of you know, addressing the stuff that happened in the last season. I think partly we touched a little bit on it from the offensive standpoint. I think that it became too much. We just need our guys to be your guys, and there wasn't enough of the scheme aspect of it involved in it. And I think there were some issues defensively. More so, I think, from they made the midseason change at coordinator. They moved from Sean Desai to Matt Patricia, and that move didn't work out at the time. And, I think that's why they said, look, Nick Sirianni has been a very good leader. He's instilled a very good culture here. He still has an outstanding win percentage. You know, you look at all the numbers, the metrics, you know, he's up there with all the top coaches ever since he entered the league in 2021. And you look at the list of coaches who were hired in that cycle, and it's like Sirianni and like Dan Campbell, and I think that's pretty much it at this point. So it's crazy how fast the turnover rate happens in the NFL, but I think at the end of the season, the Eagles said, and they said this, Jeffrey Lurie had said this actually, the team's owner, when they hired Nick as a young offensive coordinator coming from Indianapolis, they pretty much said, we want you for the coach you are now, but we are looking forward to the coach you're going to become. And they knew there were going to be some growing pains with him over time. And I think they said, look, this is a coach who got him to the Super Bowl in year two. They started out with the best record in the NFL that, you know, again, for myriad reasons, the things went sideways off the rails at the end of the season. But that's why I think there were all eyes on him to start the season. But I think they said, look, if we upgrade the coaching staff around Coach Sirianni, and you bring in Kellen Moore, who interviewed for the Eagles' job in that cycle with Sirianni, and Vic Fangio, who was familiar with Philadelphia previously, and is, you know, he pretty much the Eagles have wanted the Fangio system ever since Sirianni got here, so they finally got the man who came up with it.
There you go.
I think the combination of that working with Sirianni and what he does from, and again, I think we could point to how the team has transitioned from the bye week to say, okay, things are not working right. Players have their input. Coaches have their input. Let's get everyone on the same page so that we can right the ship and get things going. And you look at where the Eagles are, 6-2, going into a huge five-day stretch here, because not only do they have the Cowboys on Sunday in Dallas, but they have to bounce back Thursday night because they get the Commanders at home.
Man, outstanding stuff. I really appreciate the time very much, good sir. We would love to talk with you again.
Excellent, guys. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the game. And, hopefully when we match up later on in the season, we'll get to chat again. But enjoy the food there. I'm going to go grab some lunch myself. Enjoy the game this weekend.
There you go. Chris McPherson from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It is also a shout-out Friday from the 817. Shout-out to my daughter Savannah for doing awesome in school and receiving the Unity Character Award for unifying her class and being friendly to everyone. That is delightful. I also wanted to shout out the Prosper Band. I went to the Prosper Plano West game last night.
Why?
Because one of my really good friends, his son Elijah, shout out to Elijah, his senior night, it was his last game. Unfortunately, Prosper beat them down pretty good. But the Prosper Band was fantastic at halftime as well.
Well, that's nice.
Did they play their instruments?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
All right.
Some of them also climbed up on boxes, and they were doing all kinds of stuff with props, like people in the band.
They play We Got the Beat by the Bengals.
Yeah, what did they play?
They did not play We Got the Beat. Coming up next.
Why not?
I don't
it's
know,
a good
Mike.
Question.
Thank
I'll
you.
Ask.
I appreciate that.
I'm not saying it's not a good question.
You don't even know what they played.
Name a song. You can literally name any song. I didn't say name a song they played. I just said name a song. Would have helped you out there.
We're the KNC masterpiece, I guess.
Heck yeah, we are.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, 5601 Hewlin Street. If you want to come and join us, it's Gridiron Gravy in honor of Philly Week. Let's revisit the actual, I promise, real old NFL team called the Steagles. Next on The Fan.
Now you've got to go for the end zone because it's third down and you don't want to settle for the field goal. 3rd and 5, Lamar takes the snap, backpedaling, drifting to the left, running left, right lob back of the end zone, touchdown Ravens! Rashawn Bateman on the receiving end!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of South Hewlin. And right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Oh, my God.
Gridiron gravy. I don't know if you heard that, Alec. They even did the here we go.
Yes!
Gridiron gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now let's go back to that Thursday night football game. I don't want it to get lost in the fact that they did not get the two-point conversion and the Bengals lost. But Ja'Marr Chase, 11 catches for 11 first downs.
Oh, really?
264 yards and 3 touchdowns. Estimate of about, depending on some of the intricacies of your league, about 55 points in fantasy, give or take. All right, and I see people who have fantasies like, oh, yeah, that's right.
He just showed me his stats just a minute ago.
Okay,
he had Lamar and Ja'Marr Chase.
Holy crap. So you could just bench the rest of your team, and there's probably still a decent shot that you win that game. That I thought that game, usually Thursday Night Football, maybe not my favorite games in the world. But I thought this was really entertaining, and I thought it was two quarterbacks who we usually just kind of default into the top five looking every bit of their top five status.
I'm with you. The one thing is watching that game, I guess Cincinnati probably with their sixth loss are not going to be able to overcome their offensive line and their, at times, lack of defense.
Yep.
That's that offense. For what Joe Burrow does, I'll say this. I'm not trying to take shots at anybody. That offensive line's worse than the Dallas Cowboys' offensive line.
Ooh.
And he's – I mean, look, their record's not good, but Burrow still puts up yards and touchdowns and points. And that has to be – I'll be nice here. One of the 10 worst offensive lines in the NFL.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Yeah, I could see that.
And their defense doesn't play with as much physicality as you really like, and that's why they can – they have these kinds of spells, these kinds of moments that do what they do. The – Lamar Jackson and his offense have so many different tricks in their bag that they could reach into with his ability to run, with Derrick Henry's ability to run. And, you know, now, last night he was going to Taylen Wallace, you know, and for an 80-yard touchdown. And he has just all these different weapons that he's learning. He looks more comfortable throwing the ball than I've ever seen him before. That being said, on the other side, like you said with Joe Burrow, his confidence in Ja'Marr Chase is amazing. He's just like, I'm going to put it up there, and I know Ja'Marr's going to be there, and their comfort together.
Well, a two-point conversion well earned. To win the game.
Okay, well, yeah.
Yeah, he should have
totally
done that, too.
Ignore him, that
is,
the weirdest
yeah, that
thing
is
in the world.
Odd.
I thought for sure when the ball was snapped, Burrow would look to his left first, like that would be his first read, and he looked to the right, and because they don't have a good offensive line, he does not have time to scan to the other side of the field. And I was just like, man, I mean, how mad would you be, Kevin, if the Cowboys had that situation Sunday afternoon, Sunday night?
Don't even look
at Cooper Rush, like CeeDee Lamb's having a game like that, and
I'm
you send him over to the left, and you just look to the right to your backup tight end and your number three or four receiver.
Absolutely. The only thing I can guess is because of how they might have been loading up on Chase is maybe he's like, that will give us the exact matchup I want. Yeah. And even then, it still didn't work out for them. I understand. I know people are going to point out the multiple penalties. It appeared as though there were on that play that didn't get called. For Lamar Jackson, he really is sticking it in Bobby Belt's face this season, because Bobby Belt said that Lamar Jackson was just a running back. Lamar Jackson last night, 25 of 33, 290 yards. I believe that is his sixth straight game with at least 250 passing yards. And in the last 17 days, he has 14 touchdown passes.
Good gosh.
In NFL games.
Yeah.
Not just in practice or whatever.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And, you know, we just brought up yesterday, you were very surprised that he had 20-2.
And now it's 24-2.
Yeah.
His touchdown interception ratio is 12-1. And he has the number one QBR in the NFL.
It's almost Aaron Rodgers-like, that the year he
was
MVP.
It is kind of odd, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers had that, what is it, 20-something? Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry.
And Mike has just gotten a birthday present that I feel like will derail the rest of the segment if... Mike, do you want to give us a breakdown of what is happening in that birthday
present?
Well,
we just had a Tolo come in, and he had to make this today because I have not brought up the brass monkey until today.
That's a good point.
And it says, happy birthday, Mikey B, KNC Masterpiece, and it is three, I guess, brass monkeys.
Yes.
With our faces on the monkey brasses.
Do not give that to Carter. Do not give that to Carter. You know he'll put that on our screen and it'll be up on the Twitch and YouTube. That is hilarious, though.
Now, there's a lot of stuff I wanted to tell you about, but we got a little bit derailed by that, and I need to tell you about this. There used to be an NFL team called the Steagles. Now, I know in an attempt to run them down, people will call the Eagles the Sheagles.
Yep.
Might be an outdated insult. Not sure if that flies anymore.
Rangers are the Peagles on Fridays.
That's true. And then there are the Eagles and the Steelers. However, for one season, the Eagles and Steelers merged into one team in 1943. And obviously, part of this has to do with World War II and so many people being gone.
And that dude that fell in the molten lava.
Yes, that was before. But that is a real story we told yesterday.
I love this. Let's say this could happen after this week. Would you feel like it's a championship, since the Cowboys have struggled with injuries and winning games, if we became the Dallas Texans and we merged with the Houston Texans?
Yes.
And then they won it all.
Yes,
or
they do.
You'd say we won it all. Would you feel like that's a championship because we merged with the Texans and then beat everybody?
At this point, whatever it takes, and if that's what it took. Now, believe it or not.
Still a bad offensive line.
That's a good name. Hopefully nobody comes up with the Dallas Texans.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely happened before, Mike. Oh. So believe it or not, they tried this before. So the Pennsylvania Keystoners were a proposed, I swear this is true, were a proposed team in 1939 with the intention of the Steelers and Eagles owners buying into one ownership, all right? It didn't work out, and so it didn't happen. But eventually, in 1943, we got the Steagles. They only went 5-4-1.
Oh, but they was a winning record.
That's true. But you have to be disappointed if you go 5-4-1 and you have the combination of two teams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like that's got to make you sad.
But like
right?
I said, if they both have the same weakness, then you're not making your team better. Like we merged with the Texans, our offensive line's weak, their offensive line's weak.
We can't find five usable offensive linemen.
I think you could in that case.
I don't know, man. Maybe their left tackle's not as good as ours.
This is fun if you really did this and sat down and paperworked it.
Oh yeah.
Like if you took the two worst teams in football are New England and Carolina,
maybe the Raiders. Yeah, I hear
Raiders,
you.
Whatever. You take two worst teams and you take both of their rosters, and then you just put together the best team with the 106 guys you now have.
That would be, I would definitely
want to
see that.
Can you become a winning team if two teams merge that are really bad?
That is a great question. By the way, that Steagles team, they played the Giants, the New York Giants, twice that year and went 1-1. They also played the Brooklyn Dodgers twice that year and went 1-1 against them.
Well, I think Jackie Robinson played football at UCLA.
Okay, so it wasn't the baseball team, the Brooklyn Dodgers. It was the football team.
That was great when I saw Sandy Koufax. Old lefty Sandy Koufax looking like Mark Brunell out there.
Plano West last night, they had a left-handed quarterback.
That's sweet. Was he really left-handed?
No, yeah, he was really left-handed. Okay. They did lose 51-10.
Because like I said, I'm not sure about Trevor Lawrence.
Yes. By the way, he's trending towards missing the game this weekend, Doug Peterson said. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 Through the Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth off of South Hewlin. If you want to come out and see us, we're getting close to the threshold of potentially having to open up the balcony. So if we keep the people coming in, I think we got a real shot at this. Coming up next, Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because. Look, do your best right here on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.